Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And if you've missed any past episodes of Live by Every Word, you'd like to go back and listen to those, they're archived at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. You can find them on iTunes as well, and that goes for all of the programming here on KPCG. What is the true gospel? What is the gospel message? Religion in this world is very confused about what the gospel is. There's all kinds of ideas about the gospel. But the good thing is that we don't have to be confused on it, and we can't be confused on this issue. The true gospel, and understanding what the true gospel is of the utmost importance. The message God sent by Christ was the gospel, and that gospel was the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Christ didn't come to talk about himself, to exalt himself. He came to talk about God the Father and also that kingdom of God, that soon coming kingdom and family of God. In the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free and it's at thetrumpet.com, and if you have not signed up for that, please do so. It's a wonderful course. Mr. Gerald Fleury writes this in the message from the editor, and this is from Lesson 22. He says, "It was the message of the new covenant which will establish the kingdom of God. Christ announced that message, but he never forced men to accept it. Never did he plead with a single person to be converted. He merely announced the good news of the kingdom of God." Christ didn't have a big following. When he died, there was only about 120 converts. So he didn't have this huge following. He didn't have millions of people following him around. It wasn't like what you see today in so-called Christianity. Over a billion people subscribing to that religion, different flavors of that religion and that idea. But Christ had a message that was different than those messages that you hear today. His message wasn't about himself. And now we certainly need to understand Christ's position in the God family. We need to understand who he was, who he is, what he does. All of those things are vital to understand, and that's part of the message. But what about the message Christ taught? What did he talk about? What did he teach? Well, it was this gospel of the kingdom of God. And we have to understand that message. We have to understand it. Make sure that we really understand that message and understand what Christ taught. After all, a Christian is somebody who follows Christ. And of course, nobody is a true Christian unless they have God's Holy Spirit. God's church preaches the same gospel message today. That same message that Christ preached is being preached today. About 2,000 years ago, he preached that message. And it's being preached today as well. Herbert W. Armstrong proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God around the world. Many of our listeners remember him. He preached that same message on radio, on television. He wrote about it in the Plain Truth magazine, and it went to millions of people, that message. He also talked to many world leaders directly. You can go find videos of him talking to some of the leaders of the world, quite a few of them, as a matter of fact, and he talked to them about this gospel message, the kingdom of God. He talked to them about that. Notice this in Matthew 24 and verse 14. We have a few passages today, and so if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get that out. We can look up these passages together. Matthew 24 and verse 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom," so notice, it's the gospel of the kingdom, "shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel was going to be preached around the world. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong did that. And notice that it said the gospel message, this again, gospel of the kingdom, was preached as a witness. It was a witness. In other words, God wasn't pleading with people to be converted through that message. It wasn't this big altar call that sometimes you'll see on, I suppose, different programs. He wasn't doing that. That wasn't what Christ was doing through Mr. Armstrong. No, the message was being preached. The gospel message was preached as a witness, and that was the gospel of the kingdom. He was giving it as a witness. And of course, in so doing, in giving that message, God did call some and convert them with that message. A few, of course, there are first fruits that God has called to support that work and back that work today. But God had to call them, and you can read about that in John 6 and verse 44, a very well-known passage, that no one can come to Christ unless God the Father calls them. Very important verse to remember. So, you know, when you see these big, just sort of open calls, everyone come and, you know, give their lives to Christ as they would talk about it, that's not according to the Bible. God the Father has to do the calling, and it's a very small group. When you look at the numbers of the population of the world, it's a very small group today. It's a first fruit group. God's church today also preaches the gospel to the world. So that message continues. And again, we have to remember, it's the gospel of the kingdom. So God's church today continues to preach the gospel to the world, but the emphasis has changed. The commission to God's apostle today is given in Revelation 10 and verse 11. Revelation 10 and verse 11, let's notice that. It says, "And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." And so the emphasis today is on the warning. Now that's still part of the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom, because there is a warning about the end of this age of man and the events that lead up to that. But there's great hope after that. Great hope after that, because the kingdom of God is going to be established. God's kingdom will be established. There will be a millennial time period. And that's coming very soon, where Christ will rule this earth. And those that are alive at that time will live over into that time period. If they haven't heard God's truth, they'll learn about it then. And those, of course, that come along during that time are going to have a wonderful world to grow up in and to live in and to learn the truth of God in. And then they too will be given the opportunity to be born as God beings into that actual kingdom of God. So it's a wonderful, wonderful gospel message. It's a kingdom of God message. It's a family of God message. You don't hear about it. You just don't hear about it in traditional Christianity. It's a great, great plan, but there is a warning in that, and the emphasis is on the warning today. Mr. Fleury writes in the message from the editor, he says, "The emphasis is on the warning, not the gospel as it was with Mr. Armstrong. And that is because time is so short and world events are so horrifying." And they really are. I mean, if you look around, I don't think you have to be convinced of that. I mean, look at the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Look at Iran's belligerence. Look at the growing power in Europe and the division there between Britain and the rest of Europe. And all of that ties into Bible prophecy and Germany's rise to strength and to power and to really controlling and domineering that European area. Russia and China coming together more closely. Just the division in the United States politically, mass shootings, drug problems, debt problems. We don't need to be convinced, I don't think, that these are some pretty difficult times. And again, if that's all we focused on, if that's all you focused on, it'd be pretty discouraging. But even though there's a warning there, there's great hope with that as well. Mr. Fleury continues, and he says, "We still preach the gospel to the world, but we emphasize the warning that leads to the good news. The warning leads to the good news, and that's an important point to keep in mind. There is a warning there, but there's great news that comes as well. The warning, Mr. Fleury writes, still points to the return of Jesus Christ, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. What is the end result of the troubles that we see in the world today? Well, it's the return of Jesus Christ, to put an end to the man ruling over man, to put an end to the problems that we see all over. Christ has to return, and he has to put an end to those difficulties. So that's great news. And there is no other hope. There is no other good news. The return of Christ is the solution to the problems that we see in this world. And Mr. Fleury goes on to point out that the time we are in now demands that we emphasize the warning. I mean, it demands it. Who's going to warn? Who's going to step out for God and say, look what's happening. Look at what your Bible says, and look at what these events in the world are leading to. That warning has to be emphasized. Again, mass shootings, bitter political division, racial division, U.S. debt, families being destroyed, the absolute obliteration of the family. Who's going to warn about these things? And who's going to support that warning? Well, hopefully, you as a listener are supporting that warning. You know, I often think of the example of living next to somebody. Say you have a neighbor that you get along with and you're close to, and you know, you have a nice relationship. And you wake up one morning and you realize that their house is beginning to burn. What would you do? Wouldn't you run over there and warn them and say, get out of your house before it burns down? Or would you just sit there and say, well, I really like you, you're a great neighbor, and, you know, wave at them across the fence while their house burns? I think we all know we'd run over there and warn them to get out of their house. But God's sending a warning to Israel today through his apostle and through the church that supports him, this church. We need to be helping and support that warning message. It's love. You know, Christianity, as the world would view it, often talks about love. They talk about love, but what is love? Well, it's the keeping of the commandments. That's what God says. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And part of that is giving his warning message, following him. Remember the first commandment? No other gods before the one true God. So if God gives us a warning and a job to do and a warning to deliver, then if we are keeping that first commandment, we're going to help deliver that message in whatever role we're given to do that. In a lot of cases, it was praying for it and supporting it financially, because that's what God has us do, and we're supposed to put God above all else, above any concern we might have personally or anything in our personal lives. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the law of God. That's love. And in so doing, God's warning message is a warning message of love to this world. Giving that warning message isn't a negative thing. There's certainly some negativity in it because of the results of the way society is going, but ultimately it is warning and correction to get people on the right track. And so that warning message is so important, and the times demand that warning be emphasized. Notice this about these difficult times we are in, and here's why they're so difficult. Revelation 12, let's look at verse 9 and verse 12. Revelation 12, starting in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Do you believe in that great dragon? I mean, do you believe there's a Satan, the devil? The Bible says there is. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. Satan deceives the whole world? I mean, even those millions, and I think it's over a billion so-called Christians? Well, he says the whole world. That's a big percentage of the world. Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I mean, his demons. Verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. It's a great time there, because they don't have to deal with Satan anymore and his negativity, his accusations. But it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Why does he have a short time? Because he's about to be replaced by Jesus Christ. That's why his time is short, and he knows that. Because he is the God of this world. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Satan is the God of this world. That means the majority of the world worships him, and they don't know it's Satan. They don't call him Satan, but the direction that they're going is under the influence of Satan. Look at the division in this country. That's not from God. Look at the hatred, one group against another, one person against another. That doesn't come from God. That comes from Satan. Satan is the author of confusion and division and railing accusations. And we see that everywhere when we look around this earth. It shouldn't be hard to realize that Satan is the God of this world, but he's about to be replaced. But because he is cast down to this earth and his demons, we see an uptick in the violence and the division and the animosity. It's palpable, and you see it everywhere. That's the time in which we live, and that's why there has to be a warning message given out. But ultimately, that warning message also points to the gospel. It is part of that gospel message because it leads to the return of Jesus Christ, but the emphasis is on the warning. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 45. That speaks of God's faithful and wise servant giving meat in due season. You can read that in Matthew 24 and verse 45. Meat in due season. In other words, God's message of warning must be delivered by his apostle, who is supported by God's church members. And now is the time to give this warning message. It's the time to give this message. But this message also includes the greatest news, which is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. But there has to be meat in due season given. In other words, the message has to be given at the right time. This is the time for that warning message. Mr. Fleury writes, why does God call people into his true church today? That's a great question. Why call people today? And again, it's not a lot, but there are a few, and many of you are listening to this program. Mr. Fleury says, for one magnificent reason that God calls people into his true church today, and that is to do God's work. And then he repeats it, to do God's work. It would be utterly impossible, he says, for me to carry out this great commission alone. That is why God has called you now instead of later. God's church must prophesy again, as no other people have ever prophesied for God. We must deliver God's message. That's a big job, but it's a job worth doing. In a lot of ways, it's the only job worth doing. The only one that has lasting fruit. The only one that really lasts. And of course, there's lots of other jobs we do in this life, you know, to earn money and so forth to support the work. And of course, those are important as well. But ultimately, as far as a main goal and a main focus, it is to support this work of God. Christ set the perfect example. Notice this in John 4 and verse 34. John 4 and verse 34, and we're to be like Christ and grow to be like that. It says, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. To finish his work, the key word here is finish. Finish it. You know, if you've supported God's work, keep doing it. If you are supporting it, continue. And if you haven't really begun to do that, but you're thinking maybe you should, then begin. Start and continue and work to finish God's work. Whatever our part in it is, we have to finish that. Christ finished his part. Mr. Fleury wrote, that is where we must always focus. Christ is the head of our work today. We must have the same passion Christ had. You, individually, must put your heart into the work, or you will die spiritually. It's pretty serious. We can't grow spiritually and not have our heart in the work. He continues and says, if this church ceases to do the work, it will die. That happened to the Worldwide Church of God. If you were part of that, or if you supported it or remember it, they stopped doing God's work and they died. They stopped the warning message. They stopped giving the true gospel, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God, and of course an emphasis now on the warning leading up to that return of Christ and what's happening now. They didn't do that. They didn't continue in the work that Mr. Armstrong was doing, and that Christ was doing through him. And that's where a lot of people got off track, and they thought, well, you know, a man died. Well, Christ is the head of the church. Christ doesn't die. He died once for the sins of mankind. He doesn't die again. He's alive and he's powerful, and he is the head of the church. And so people, I guess, didn't see that, or they forgot about that. And many, unfortunately, stopped supporting the work of God. But we can't do that. We have to support it. Support this true gospel message. The kingdom of God, the coming kingdom and family of God, with an emphasis on a warning today. God's work has to be everything in our lives. I mean, it really has to be the main focus. It has to be the main focus and the main goal. And we always have to keep God in the picture. Mr. Fleury says this, "What about you? What about you? Is your heart in the work? Is your goal to get God's message out to the world? The work is the purpose for the church." Right? If we're not doing a work, well, there's no purpose. The work is the purpose for the church. If we don't do that work, we will be severely punished, or we won't be in God's family. There are consequences to not doing the job that God's given us to do. So we want to make sure we're doing it. He says, as this lesson will show you, and he's talking about this correspondence course lesson, lesson 22, it is by doing the work that you are trained and made ready to rule with Christ when he returns to this earth. And that's really important for us to think about. Who doesn't want to be part of that? I mean, that's excitement, right? When Christ returns and he has this work that he's doing, and it's a global work. It continues to reach around the globe, and more powerfully, obviously, than ever before, because Christ is there, you know, having returned and Satan being put away. And if you understand those prophecies, you understand this millennial time period is going to begin. It's an amazing time on this earth. And God is calling some now to be trained, to be ready to help and assist in that. And this is that training period. And so if you're being called to support God's work today and you do it, as he writes here, as Mr. Fleury writes, by doing the work, you are being trained and made ready to rule with Christ when he returns to this earth. Is that valuable? Is that a reason to get out of bed in the morning and to put forth a full effort? Absolutely it is, but we need vision to see that. We have to see beyond our day today, you know, the day that we're living in. You know, the 24-hour period that we're experiencing throughout our day. We have to see beyond that and see this great, great event that's about to happen, which is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. That's what the gospel is about, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. And by supporting God's warning message today, we're preparing, we're being trained to be part of that family of God and help Christ continue his Father's work when he returns to this earth. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.